The Cap and Jay Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago.
This is your new morning routine. Cap and Jay Hood. Follow Cap J. Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Lions looking for fourth and goal conversion off the play fake. Goff throws wide open. Touchdown, Brock Wright.
Well, maybe it's time for a little office magic.
What's office magic?
Mooney in motion.
The flag.
Fields pumps. Flag down. Fields breaks the tackle. Fields on the scramble. Fields in for the touchdown.
Are you kidding me?
First and goal. Fields on the run, throwing for the end zone. Komet leaping high to pull it in for a Bears touchdown.
He's got it all working today.
Second and one. Fields setting up, looking deep. Komet wide open. He's got it. Cole Komet to the house. 50-yard Bears touchdown.
So, big question is, aside from the damage to the boat, which we will fix, what do you guys think of the presentation?
First down and goal. They hand it to Swift, and Swift will coast into the end zone for a Detroit touchdown. Untouched for six from 9 yards out, and the Lions vault right back into this ballgame. Second and 18. Fields in some trouble trying to get it to Komet. It's intercepted. Okuda with the pick, and Little One picks Big One and takes it for a touchdown.
Holy crap, I am freaking out.
Here we go! And now on third down, Fields will yank it, and there's room to run for Fields. Fields,
baby.
Turn it on to speed. Fields on the angle, trying to outrace Okuda, and he'll beat him to the goal line for the touchdown.
Oh, wow. He's already the leading rusher on third downs.
Big way.
And watch this.
67 yards. St. Brown gets it on the flip. St. Brown cuts back at the five, and he's down inside the two.
And that PAT is going to come back and bite him.
Up the middle, in for the touchdown is Jamal Williams. His ninth rushing touchdown of the year, and the Lions are an extra point away.
We're getting man-to-man.
Fields in trouble. Fields chased, breaks free of two tacklers. Now trying to break the third, and Okwara has him. Julian Okwara with the sack.
He was just exhausted.
God. Welcome in to the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you, those highlights courtesy of Fox. As we got Charlie, we got JC, and we got you for our Bears Monday with open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our telephone number. Good morning, Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago. As always, we appreciate you keeping the conversation going, brought to you by DraftKings. Well, here we are, Cap, a Bears Monday where the Bears are 3-7. Another record-breaking day for Justin Fields and another loss for the Bears.
That's a bad loss because that's a bad Lions team. But I kept hearing from different people.
Shay.
Lions can't score. Jeff Okuda's a lousy corner. He read that pick six like he knew it was coming. Justin will learn from that. We learned that we have our quarterback again. That kid's a beast. Please don't tell me he can't pass. They cannot protect him when he is in the pocket. That is a fact. And so when they chained him in by not having their ends rush so aggressively up the field, you watch the pick six. Where is Aiden Hutchinson, their best player? He is standing back toward the line of scrimmage, trying to make sure Justin doesn't get past him. Bam, there's the pick. He had to throw it over the top. Justin said, I learned. It's a bad loss by any measure. We're picking six in the draft. Let's go.
Well, Fields' running ability keeps the Bears' offense in the game. And we saw that once again. 147 yards and 13 carries for Justin and a couple of touchdowns. His connection to his weapons could help the Bears win some games. We saw that yesterday where you saw some passes to Darnell Mooney. Cole Kmet got in the mix with a couple of touchdowns as well. However, from an athlete standpoint, and we had Keyshawn Johnson here a couple of weeks ago when he was doing his morning show, came down and talked to us for a half hour. To an athlete, it is about trying to be able to learn how to win some games. As I told you last week, Cap, I see the schedule here for the remaining part of the season, and there's just going to be a lot of teams that just have more talent than the Bears coming in here. That is the Vikings, that's the Eagles, that's the Buffalo Bills. There are teams that are going to be much better than the Bears from a personnel standpoint. But at some point, you also have to learn how to win, too. You don't want to be demoralized when you're a player. There is a clear difference between what players want and what management wants. I heard what Cole Kmet said. I read what he said. He says, I know what's going on up there. I know what's going on at House Hall as far as what they want, but we have to be able to find a way to win some games. That was a winnable ball game yesterday, and there's a lot of reasons why the Bears lost that game, but for my money, this team should have four wins today, but the Bears beat themselves as much as the Lions beat them yesterday.
The interesting thing in watching that game.
You got to learn how to win games, Cap. Like that was a game that was in the balance that they should have won, and they fell short.
Yes, you've got to learn how to win football games. We also have to be willing to admit that that team doesn't have talent. When Justin was forced to stay in the pocket, we cannot protect him. They cannot. Their receivers are not good enough. Their running game yesterday was excellent, again, because you got a quarterback that, as Phil Yates just tweeted, as a runner over the past 2 weeks, 28 runs, 325 yards, that's an average of 11.6, three touchdowns, two runs of 60 or more, and that 325 yards is the most by any quarterback in a two-game span in NFL history. That's all dandy, and I believe the kid can pass. You just got to find a way to start adding pieces to this team once this season ends. You need a new left tackle. That kid ain't good enough. Stop. He's not. Maybe he'll develop to one. Braxton Jones is not ready to be a starting level NFL left tackle. That's a fact. Your best offensive lineman didn't dress yesterday. Tevin Jenkins. There were people in town telling me we just got a number one receiver when Claypool came here. He was the third receiver in Pittsburgh, and they stink. And they were willing to let him go. So let's pump the brakes. I'm glad he's here. He's big. He's fast. He's strong. Maybe he will develop into a solid player. Wide receiver one right away? We had people calling here right after the trade deadline. Maybe the defense will be better. I think not.
Yeah, clearly not. Clearly not, because that's the other side of it as well, where the Bears surrendered that many points. Again, we can get into this pick six, which was an awful play by Justin Fields. But at the same time, though, you know the roster when the game starts. We know who's been traded. We know who's been let go. And so now it's about Jack Sanborn. It is about Brisker, Morrow, others to be able to say, hey, you know what? A lot of these stars are gone. Now it's my time to shine. This is clearly an opportunity for these young players to be able to show what they can do. And some of these veterans, too. There's a lot of guys in that defense that won't be around here next year. They won't be around here in a couple of years. So you better show what you can do and put it on tape. I like the idea that the Bears were able to get to the quarterback in Goff. Man, there was a couple of quarterback hits with Sanborn, which I liked. I liked what I saw with Morrow as well. You had two sacks total, and I like that. But ultimately, Cap, that defense is porous. Like the sponge in your bathroom, it's brutal. they can't make stops. It's amazing how the opponents are able to throw the ball backside of the linebackers in front of the secondary, wide open spaces, wide open room to roam. That's when the defense and their gap responsibility is not there. And again, we've seen this the last few games. We're going to see this for the rest of the season. The defense, you talk about the offensive line, not enough talent on that side of the ball. Defensively, not enough talent to be able to get to the quarterback either. That's pretty clear.
So watching the game yesterday, if you remember, Lions are going left to right on your TV screen.
And on your radio dial.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. It was trimmed in Honolulu blue and what silver and white and whatever else.
Yeah.
So it's 3rd and 14.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack Sanborn was awesome yesterday.
Oh.
He was phenomenal.
Jack Sanborn.
Two sacks, a tackle for loss. What do you have, 12 tackles?
12 tackles.
And he should have had a pick if they don't screw the Bears on a terrible penalty call.
How are you not committing that to memory? There's going to be a billboard erected on the Kennedy for him today. Watch.
He was really good.
Oh, God.
But I'm watching the game, and I've got a guy who's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day, Lance Briggs, who played linebacker.
Yeah.
It's 3rd and 14. He looks at me and to coach, and he says, "Don't take the cheese." Huh?
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any pizza out here. They were eating Portillo's. And Lance, what does that mean? He said, "They're going to run a guy about 6 yards over the middle. You don't touch him on 3rd and 14. You drop in coverage. Because if he catches the ball, everybody flows to him, tackles him short. They punt."
Yep.
There goes the guy exactly as Briggs predicted. There he goes. There goes Sanborn. I got to get him right over the top of him.
Yeah.
14-yard gain. First down, Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "If you know that sitting here, obviously you played, why does he not know that?" He said, "Because he's a rookie."
Yep.
He said, "You don't know your depth. You're just trying to make a play, man. You're running around. I got to get that guy."
Yeah.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah.
He said, the key is, does he make that mistake again?
He learned. And I think a lot of them are learning every week. I'm sure that Coach Williams will put that on the board and say, "Hey, look at this gap integrity, the lack thereof.
Yes.
Look at the problem here." Like, we saw it all a lot yesterday. But, again, it's a microcosm for me, Cap, of a game that the Bears should have been able to win. 441 passing yards for Justin Fields the last three games. 385 rushing yards. 11 touchdowns. One interception. And the big stat for that, 0-3. Now, again, it's between your ears in this spot. If you're Justin Fields and some of these guys that think they're going to be around you the next couple of years, you're getting your ass kicked, again, by good teams and by teams that are 3-6 this morning. But the point is, though, is that does Justin Fields realize the bigger picture? He's probably thinking, "Man, maybe this is on me. Maybe this is on my teammates." I mean, listen, Eberflus and the coaching staff and Poles, they understand the big picture, Cap. Do the players know the big picture? There's got to be some frustration in that locker room, though, because if you're a player, you have pride. 3-7 is not good enough. Even though we know what the season's about, if you're a player, you have pride. You don't want to lose that game yesterday, and they did.
So I'm looking at their roster, and we can go through this with people. Here are the guys that they have and their depth chart. Let's get to that after the break. And I want you to tell me, of those guys that we started yesterday, because I keep hearing, Cap, there's a lot of talent on it. There's not. How many of those guys are there the next time the Bears are a playoff team?
312-332-3776 is our phone number. The Bears lose to the Lions 31-30. How are you feeling about the loss? Is this loss acceptable against this team, the Detroit Lions? We're going to get your thoughts. All right. Let's go to this, JC. Let's open the phone lines, 312-332-3776. It's a Bears Monday. Cap and I want to hear from you. Your thoughts about the Bears' loss against the Lions on Chicago's Home for Sports.
That's why I see him in the
shot. No shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show. Here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We've got JC, we've got Charlie, we got you on this Bears Monday with you till 10 o'clock. Then Mike Greenberg comes in 10 to 12. Carmen Yurko 12 to 2. Waddle and Sylvie 2 to 6. Black and Abdallah 6 to 8. Into Freddie and Fitzsimmons. Time now for Shot or No Shot is brought to you by
PointsBet Sportsbook. Download the PointsBet app. Get the lightning bets, the same game, live in game parlays. I'll be doing that tonight. Putting the same game together as well for the start of the game. And if you want to bet the horses, the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. Good morning, Secretariat. We hand it off right now to Charles Bevins.
Good morning, boys. How are we doing today?
You know how we're doing.
Bears Monday. I'm loving it.
You've tuned into the show this morning, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
You tuned in?
We're loving that defense, right?
Well, we're loving Jack Sanborn.
And Jack Sanborn?
I'm not quite as upset as Hoodie. I'm not.
You're indifferent to the Bears right now until they get good. I'm locked in for every game,
every
play. I'm
not indifferent to them.
Yeah.
I told you that game's going to be way harder to win, and I'm worried the Lions could beat them. I saw this coming. So we suck.
Yes, doesn't make it right. Doesn't make you feel good this morning. I knew the Bears are bad. Oh, they lost. Oh, well, can't do that, pal. Not on this side of the table. Because this is a game they should have won. There's going to be times where the Bears are going to get bludgeoned against better teams. And so I'm prepared for that. I know what that looks like because I can see the talent difference. Bears and Lions, a game that's in the balance, you like to win that game. But they fell short. Charlie.
All right, boys, let's start right there with the Bears. Once again, we saw the Bears fill up the stat sheet offensively. And once again, we saw the other opposing team do the same thing on Sunday, with Detroit scoring 31 points, making it the third game in a row the Bears have allowed over 30 points. We saw what happened to the offense during the mini-bye, so shot or no shot, Matt Eberflus needs to make similar systematic changes to his defense for us to feel truly good about where this team is headed.
Well, that's a shot. I'm not sure exactly what those changes would be, but here's a guy here that is a defensive coordinator at heart. And I know he can't be happy about the amount of points that have been surrendered. However, Cap can tell a story about the thoughts of Eberflus coming into the Bears as far as his Colts defense. Was it an iron gate? Were they getting to the quarterback a lot as of late with the Colts?
Well, I was listening to different people give their thoughts on it, and then I heard Dan Dockich on with Waddle and Sylvie.
Mm-hmm.
He was none too complimentary about what the Bears were getting as a defensive wizard.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I like him. So far, I like that he's our head coach. I like his transparency. I like how he answers things. I like that his guys try to play hard for him.
Did you say you like his transition?
His transparency.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I thought you said transition.
Take a look at our roster. It is what it is. It's going to take Poles time. That's it.
So shot or no shot?
I can't even remember the freaking question now.
All right, Charlie, go ahead.
No shot.
Well, I guess an impromptu shot or no shot. You know, he is a defensive-minded head coach. I know they're not talented, but it should be better than this, right? Like, if that is your role, that is your specialty, shouldn't you have a higher floor than what we've seen?
No.
Absolutely. You always try to be the best that you can be. The idea that you roll out of bed and said, well, this is what it is, so we just have to deal with it. If you're a coach, you have to have some pride. At least this side of the room has pride.
If I did not see them hustling, they hustle. They play hard. They try. They can't pressure the quarterback.
Yeah, well, don't confuse activity with accomplishment. They hustle, but what was the end result? A lot of open space for the Lions to run.
Correct. Because, again, Jared Goff.
Man,
he could stand back there and process and go through his reads because nobody can lay a hand on him.
That's true.
It is what it is, folks. That's the roster that we have right now. So I like that they play hard. I like the young kids in the secondary. They got their work cut out for them. It's going to be a very tough finish to the season.
Charlie.
All right, so I guess sort of an offshoot to one of Cap's points there. We know the resources that are at the Bears' disposal this coming offseason in terms of both draft capital and money to spend. Shot or no shot, finding a game-changing defensive player this offseason is just as important, if not more important, than finding a game-changing offensive player like a receiver or a tackle for Justin Fields.
I'd say shot. I mean, I think both things can be true in that you want to be able to find someone who can get after the quarterback. Yeah, Cap just went through the names in our last hour of right. guys that are no longer here and what the Bears have right now. Look at that talent. You know, we try to shine up and try to exalt Jack Sanborn because we think it's kind of cool. A local kid
He's
could do
guy.
Well. Yeah, that's cool. Moro, those guys. But, yeah, you got to have a difference maker on defense. Listen, you're a defensive coordinator at heart if you're Eberflus. You want them to get after the quarterback. It's part of the hits principle. You can't have the hits principle without having hits.
So hustle, intensity, takeaways, and smarts.
Yeah.
Okay, we hustle. We're intense. We don't get too many takeaways. Mm. And smarts,
tough.
It's tough when you're out-talented at almost every spot. I mean, when you don't have Roquan leading the NFL in tackles back there,
yeah,
who can run like the wind and cover somebody out of the backfield or go with a tight end,
mm-hmm.
You don't have Robert Quinn getting double teamed on one side and Khalil Mack, when he's healthy, a beast on the other side. You got to get those guys in here, those types of guys.
So
it's going to take time.
I would say shot, absolutely. You want to be able to get someone that can get after the quarterback. But then on the other side, of course, we're so enamored with the offense. They're scoring 30-plus points without talent.
Correct.
Imagine if they had some playmakers where Justin doesn't have to run around the field all the time. That'd be something.
That'd be amazing. So shot.
All right, Charlie.
Looking a little Jalen Carter for you there, Hoodie. All right, let's move it along. Cole Kmet had himself another day yesterday, scoring two more touchdowns, including a 50-yard bomb from Fields. He's emerged as a true red zone target we all hoped he would be, with five touchdowns in the last three games. So my question is, shot or no shot, right now the Bears have a top five tight end in the NFL.
Top five? Hold on a minute. I don't want to underestimate him.
It would be behind, obviously, Andrews, Kelsey, Kittle. But after that, it's kind of a bleak state of tight ends in the NFL.
Is this true? Is this true, JC? Do you see the same thing at tight end?
Well, Andrews has been non-existent with injuries right now.
That's right.
So you can cross him out. I think anything else behind Kelsey is up for grabs.
Hmm.
Okay.
I never seen it that way. Never thought of it that way.
TJ Hockenson, you could throw him in there. What he's been doing. Ertz just got hurt.
I never thought of it that way. Top five?
Kyle Pitts has been a major disappointment this season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, they're listing Taysom Hill as a tight end.
No.
He's not really a tight end.
He's not. He's an everyman.
Travis Kelce.
He's a man of the people.
Mark Andrews, for sure. TJ Hockenson.
I think there's maybe three or four tight ends definitively ahead of Kmet.
Dallas Goedert, Mike Gesicki. Who's the kid up in...
Will Disley?
No, the kid in Buffalo.
Dawson Knox.
Dawson Knox, solid player. Dalton Schultz down in Dallas.
That's a no
shot. Looking at all this, I'm going to say Cole Kmet has a chance mm-hmm. to be a top five guy.
That's fair. So how about the outside looking in, Charlie? Would that be fair or no? I say outside looking in when I look at this list.
Yeah, I think it's, like I said, I think it's a little bit more about the drop-off after that pretty defined top two or three. I mean, based on some of the numbers, what Kmet's been doing the past few weeks, like Dalton Schultz only has one touchdown this whole year.
I will say, no matter if we see him as a top five guy or not, I'm very encouraged that he's being able to get into the passing game. I'm happy for him. Because the last couple of years, it's been bleak. Where it's just like, he's not in the offense, or they can't give him the ball, all that. At least Justin's able to find him. I've been really happy that he's got a couple of touchdowns yesterday.
I'm looking at the, the ratings have Cole way, way down the list. If you go to lineups.com,
mm-hmm.
they have Kelce and Goddard, Andrews, Hockenson, David Njoku, Zach Ertz, Freiermuth is pretty damn good mm-hmm. in Pittsburgh. Gerald Everett with the Chargers, Kittle, Tonyan, Tyler Higbee, Hayden Hurst, Kyle Pitts, Noah Fant. They're all ahead of Cole, but I think he's coming on. No question about it.
Charlie.
All right. Well, while the Bears have been one of the more optimistic stories in the NFL, at least relative to expectations, there have been some dreadful situations in the NFL this year. Namely, what the hell's been going on in Denver and Las Vegas? The Broncos lost again to make them 3-6, and Russell Wilson looks like a shell of himself, while the Raiders and Josh McDaniels just lost to Jeff Saturday and the Colts. Shot or no shot, there will be 2 1-and-done coaches in the NFL this year.
I will say, God almighty, I would lean shot in that, but the whole thing in Las Vegas is you have the talent and it's just not working. I mean, whatever you want to say about Jeff Saturday, the coach of the Colts, I mean, the Raiders lost to a guy that doesn't have any experience. I mean, I know that it was all coached up and you had to be able to talk to Matt Ryan, get him back in the starting, you know, spot. I know Ryan's a Hall of Famer, but are the Raiders that bad that they lose against the Colts? The answer is yes.
Yeah,
that's a dreadful situation.
And now there's talk that he's lost the locker room. Oh, boy.
Now you got there.
You say that when teams are bad, but the Bears are bad. There ain't no talk of that here because they like playing for this dude.
He just got there. Now here's the other side of this real quickly. If Josh McDaniels is fired after this season, some will say, I'll just go to college. And if you're McDaniels, you're like, nope, I don't want to deal with that. NIL, all that stuff. I don't want to deal with that rat race. But then you go back in hat in hand to Belichick or whomever, and you just become a coordinator. I guess that's his lot in life, because when he's a head coach, it doesn't work.
It would be the third time he's done that, too, because of what happened with Indianapolis. Go back, hat in hand.
God
Belichick,
almighty.
Can I come back?
My God, man. But also, I would say, and I think you'd agree with me as a coach yourself, hey, man, let me work the program. Hey, you know what? I'm taking over this mess. Give me another year, for God's sakes.
I will be surprised if they fire him immediately. I will. Now, again, if the locker room just disintegrates, I guess all bets are off. I'll be surprised if they fire him at the end of 1 year.
It's likely to happen in Denver. Not sure about the Raiders at this point, Charlie, because, you know what? It's the NFL, not the NBA.
Correct.
where that's commonplace, where coaches get fired quickly because it's a players' league.
I'd be 2 head coaches in 2 years, too, after what happened with Gruden last year.
I'd hold on to him, and I know that Derek Carr had a tearful press conference, and I felt for him. Like, I never played in the NFL, but I understand he was in deep, deep waters in that press conference.
You're what, 2-7?
Yeah.
He
was not happy.
Yeah. I was gonna say, that helps McDaniel's case with Carr like that at the presser. Like, it, you know, seeing it emotional, right? It's just not the way it's gone. They're going to run it back.
All right, Charlie.
All right, we got time for one more. How about this? Let's do a little fun one here. We all followed that Bills-Vikings game yesterday.
Yep.
And in doing so, we saw Justin Jefferson make a one-handed catch. Take a listen to this if you can't remember it. I don't know how you'd forget it.
Kirk Cousins back to throw on 4th and 18. He's given time. He wants Jefferson. Climbs the ladder. Oh, my goodness. Justin Jefferson pulled it in. The catch of his life.
Shot or no shot, that's the best catch the NFL has seen.
God almighty, that's
he, yeah, the defender had 2 hands on it. He had 1.
It was fantastic. It's one of the best catches I've ever seen in a regular season game, Cap.
Yes, it was right there with the OBJ catch. Remember the one-handed?
Yeah.
Which became viral and everyone tried to imitate it.
Mm-hmm.
The David Tyree in the Super Bowl pinning it to his helmet. There's been some... what was it? Who caught the Santonio Holmes
for Pittsburgh
in the Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
Big Ben hit him and he somehow got his feet down in the back right corner. There's been some amazing catches through the years. It's certainly in the team photo. It was amazing.
There's no doubt. As far as great, there's been clutch catches, but we're talking about great catches, right? Like Dwight Clark in the back of the end zone was a clutch catch, but not a great catch like we saw yesterday. Acrobatic falling down is amazing.
Agreed.
So, yeah, it's one of the best ones I've ever seen. So, there you go, Charlie. Thanks so much for Shot or No Shot on a Monday. Now, we'll take more of your phone calls coming up. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. Cap and I want to find out your thoughts about the Bears and their loss against the Lions, 31-30. Also, you'll hear from Matt Eberflus, the head coach for the Chicago Bears. That's coming up next on Cap and J-Hood.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Now, Courtney Cronin.
Double C.
Bears Insider. And Irish dancer?
I was an Irish dancer, probably like 10 to like 13.
Takes you into Hallis Hall on Cap'n J Hood.
Courtney Cronin on Cap'n J Hood is brought to you by Wintrust. Good morning, Courtney. How are you?
I'm great. Now knowing that everybody in the Chicagoland area has been reminded of my Irish dance history, that is a very cool intro.
How about that new intro? Did you do that,
I love
Charlie?
It.
That was awesome.
Well,
that was excellent.
You say it on a microphone, it'll be recorded and kept forever.
That's true. You think I learned my lesson by now, but I digress.
Double C, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Courtney, give us your thoughts about the game. What stood out most about the Bears' loss against the Lions?
You know, I was watching it back this morning, and the fact is, this is a team that gave up 30 points in the fourth quarter all season long, and they allowed 21 to the Lions on Sunday. Like, that's just really bad. I mean, I think that the optimism surrounding Justin Fields, another incredible rushing day from the Bears quarterback, all of that's great, but the fact is they're still coming up short in both of these games where he's, you know, running all over the place and, you know, putting the team on his back, fighting off Lions, so to speak, on that fourth down play that resulted in the sack. He can't do it alone. There's a lot of takeaways, I think, that are positive, and I still think that the temperature of this fan base, they see their quarterback progressing on a week-to-week basis, but this team still can't tip the meter the other direction where these close losses become close wins. And I think there's a lot that has to do with the fact that you got to win games through the air. And I tweeted something about this yesterday, and apparently anytime you criticize a quarterback or any offense that can't throw the ball, you're a hater. But you have to look at good teams. Good teams are not one-dimensional when the game matters. No matter whether your defense has given up 21 points in the fourth quarter, you had a chance to lead a game-winning drive, and that's on everybody. That's on conservative play calling. That's on the quarterback. That's on pass protection. That's on receivers. And until they're able to do that, they're not going to win these close games. You go back to that game against Miami. There was the third down pass to Chase Claypool that didn't result in DPI. Well, you still had another chance, and it was a good throw from Justin Fields to Equanimee St. Brown, and it resulted in a drop. They lose by three. They lose by one yesterday because they can't move the ball to get in field goal range there at the end, and that's what's gonna require this team, or what's going to be required of this team to make the next step. I talked to Darnell Mooney about it yesterday and just how good they are. In a lot of respects, running the ball is what their identity is. That's fine. You can be a team like that. But when it matters, you got to be able to throw the ball at the end of the game. You got to be able to win games that way. And that's where they keep coming up short these last 2 weeks.
So watching that game yesterday, obviously the defense was horrible. But what was the number one thing that you feel they got to fix that? For me, it's left tackle. That kid's not ready to play left tackle starting in the National Football League. That would be the number one thing I got to go get. I have got to be able to protect my kid, because once they stopped having their ends rush up the field where Justin could step up and whoop, gone, where they kind of fenced him in there, everything breaks down. I got to get better protection for my guy. Do you agree or disagree?
I think that that's where you've got a first-round draft pick that you can utilize a number of different ways, and there's a couple tackles that they should be keeping their eye on in the first round. Like, and it's, you know, Braxton Jones is a fifth-round rookie from an FCS school. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. And, you know, you can say what you want about that hold that happened early in the game on the drive. I mean, they had good momentum. They were running the ball really well on that first drive. And then that holding penalty kind of slowed everything up. And then they kicked the field goal. Of course, you can win the game in a number of different ways. It's not just the first drive that determines that. But I think that you've seen moments where Braxton Jones has held his own, but you've also seen moments where he's been overmatched. And I don't know what more you can expect from somebody who, you know, is from an FCS school, you know, is relatively undersized when he's coming out, but he held his own against guys at the Senior Bowl. They thought it was good value, and it was, for a fifth round pick. I still think you have to be thinking long term here, getting a potential franchise guy in to play left tackle someday, and, you know, maybe even moving Braxton Jones around, because the future at right tackle beyond this season we don't know what that's going to be. Like, is Larry Borum ever going to get another shot? It feels like Riley Reiff's running away with that job right now, and they like at least what they have at that spot. But as you start to look through, you know, what's next for a 3-7 team, at some point you truly do turn your attention to, all right, March, who are their free agent priorities? What's the free agent class look like among offensive linemen, among pass rushers, because we know that that's a need. We already know how they feel about the wide receiver class because of what they did with Chase Claypool. But then you start turning your attention to the draft and figuring where, if they're, you know, in the 5-6 range, which they are right now after the loss to Detroit, that's a good spot to get somebody, you know, a high caliber offensive lineman that can help shore up your pass protection and help you and help your quarterback next year.
Courtney Cronin with us here on Cap and Jay Hood as we talk about the Bears and their loss against the Lions 31-30. Matt Eberflus on not playing Harry or Velus Jones yesterday.
Yeah, that's really what I said last week. You know, we thought for us it was the best five receivers up for us for this particular game, and that's what we decided best for the Chicago Bears this week. And again, with Dante doing a good job on the punt returns, and he's continuing to do a nice job back there catching the ball, and he got some good yards today too.
He gave the full name. We're going to do what's best for the Chicago Bears. So that says something. So I'll ask you this. What is the disconnect between Velus Jones and the Bears for him not to address the last couple of games?
I mean, I think it's a talent thing. And I think, you know, everything we've heard from whether it's Matt Eberflus, Luke Getsy, even Richard Hightower, it's you guys got to compete. Now you have competition in this room that is putting you even further behind the eight ball. And I don't know how quickly you can get caught up. Like, the thing that, you know, more than Velus Jones to me yesterday, Jonathan, was I looked at Equanimeous St. Brown getting the nod. You know, he dropped the pass last week. He wasn't even targeted yesterday against the Lions. They really like him. And I think a lot of that has to do with what he can contribute as a blocker. And that could potentially be the deciding factor, too. I know Matt Eberflus says, well, it's a special teams aspect when you're rounding out your five that they keep active, and that's Dante Pettis' job. But for N'Keal Harry not to be active yesterday, and for Byron Pringle to, you know, effectively get that nod over Harry, because we know that Jones is just kind of far off. I think he's, you know, working through his own situation at the moment. But for other guys, you know, this is going to be a competitive, I mean, at least it's creating good competition, I would say, in the wide receiver room. It is a little questionable, though, because you look at who was targeted, who wasn't. Now, St. Brown is playing 66% of snaps this year, and his production on offense has not been that great outside of what he contributes as a blocker. And that's fine, but you've got to get – this is what people are arguing. You need more pass-catching help for Justin Fields. It's great that Cole Kmet's emerging as that guy. He led the team in receptions and yards yesterday. Darnell Mooney right behind him. Byron Pringle only had that one catch over the middle of the field, which is a great play by Justin Fields, being able to extend that – you know, find time and extend that play, but they're just not getting the help from the room that they need. And I would imagine for Chase Claypool, it's got to be frustrating after the first week, and then they don't utilize him as much this week. And Matt Eberflus said that that's sometimes a byproduct of whether he's like the first option, the second option on the play, and how he's being covered. But they were trying to get him the ball more. It just didn't happen.
Courtney, in looking at this team and looking at what they have coming up, I know people are upset. My partner's not happy watching losses. I just don't see where they're going to win a football game. Is there a way to get Justin back on the edge, or did the Lions in the second half expose something that's going to slow him down running the football?
I mean, he was banged up after that. And I know that there's always going to be the concern when you run 325 yards in two games. I think he broke Lamar's record in a two-game stretch yesterday. There's going to be the concern of, will he slow down at some point? And he said it wasn't the hits that made him sore. It was his legs were tired. And I mean, this guy's 228 pounds. He's a bulldozer. And I can imagine he's probably he's feeling it today after going through, ripping right through the defender at the goal line for the touchdown and the 67-yarder. I thought it was kind of funny. Mooney said after the game, he's like, yeah, like, he looked like a bigger guy running in that moment. I'm not saying he's slow at all. He still hit 20 miles an hour on that play, which is insane when you think about your quarterback and how fast he is and what he can do with his legs. But it did kind of feel, at least at moments, that it might have, you know, maybe having a little bit of an effect on him as far as the stamina thing. But God, he is so tough. and he continues even when this team is, you know, has its back against the wall, and when sometimes he's, you know, the reason for that. You know, the play three snaps after the pick six was his 67-yard touchdown run, and they can continue to do that. I just think that at some point you've got to be able to win games in the fourth quarter decisively and do it like with him throwing the ball, and we know that he can. I think it's just a matter of, you know, don't give up a 14-point lead to a Detroit team that's really not that great. And defensively, Detroit's not great either. Like, I mean, that's a game they should have won. You're right. They're not going to be favored probably in any other games this season. I mean, Atlanta, last I looked, they opened as 2.5-point dogs on the road, and you expect that. But there's no such thing as easy, gimme wins for this team this year. And the hard thing is, this is a team that's building for the future, so they know what their long-term goal is. But it would probably help to get some wins in the short term to show you how to do that, even though you're teetering the fine line of, well, they don't want to necessarily affect draft positioning. And it's just tough, but they're not trying to lose games. I hate the tanking argument, and I hate the argument that the only thing that they're focused on for the future is getting higher draft capital, better draft positioning so they can build around Justin Fields. It's all important, but you can't lose to the Lions giving up 14 points in the fourth quarter after putting up 400 yards of offense. That's not acceptable by any stretch.
That's all I'm saying, Courtney. That's all I'm trying to tell Cap. It's like, I understand that it is going to be a tough road throughout the rest of this regular season, but against the Lions, especially when you have that kind of lead, that's why the loss is disappointing. We all know what the bigger picture is, but for Cap to just shrug the shoulders and just like, well, it is what it is. Screw that. Not today. It is what it is. Not today.
I get the frustration of it because there's the quarterback's making incredible strides, and that's something that this fan base can be really excited about. But they should have won that game yesterday. The swing of momentum, and when players are talking about feeling the momentum shift on the sideline and not being able to get that back, that's tough. And you go back to, I watched it this morning to make sure, you know, I went through all of the penalties, and you can think what you want about the illegal hands to the face. It's a rule that is pretty freaking clear. You cannot have your hand pushing somebody's face mask. You cannot reach in the neck area. Refs are going to call that, whether you think it's a ticky-tack call or not. I'd be more upset if I was a Bears fan about the Kyler Gordon late hit, because he was trying to make a play on the ball. It just so happened that Jared Goff sold that as he was going out of bounds and then tripped himself, whatever. All of those self-inflicted wounds, like, that's not who this team is. They're a really well-coached team. 9 penalties for 86 yards yesterday. You got, at some point, you can't blame the refs for all those. Some of those, you got to put the onus on the players. And I know that that's frustrating, but when you are supposed to win a game because you're up and you come back after halftime and you put up 14 points, you know, at some point you got to look in the mirror and say, well, that one, you know, moments of that, more moments than not, were on us than the Lions or the refs.
All right, we're out of time, but just very quickly, why is Chase Claypool only on the field for 19 freaking snaps of 61?
Yeah, I think, you know, Matt Eberflus said it yesterday that he thought he was going to end up playing, like, they thought they were going to get the ball to him more. You know, I think that that's probably a byproduct of him getting schemed against. And, you know, he's a big threat for the Chicago Bears. So they'll have to find ways to work around that. But I was kind of surprised by it, to be honest, because it felt like he got caught up to speed right away last week. And then I don't want to say took a step back, but wasn't nearly as part of the game plan as much as I thought he would have been.
Courtney, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Talk to Friday.
Courtney Cronin covers the Bears for ESPN Chicago, and we're glad that she's with us here on this Bears Monday. Coming up, we'll hear from Alex Brown. That's at 9 o'clock. The great Alex Brown will break down why the defense continues to be they continue to be porous like a sponge. Or you've got that little scrungy, right?
Scrubby.
So that's a little scrubby.
Yeah.
To hang on the little
hook in the shower.
Yeah. that's the Bears defense. It is. Except Jack Sanborn.
Oh,
Jack Sanborn.
Our guy.
The All-American.
We need him on.
What's up with Velus Jones? Next on Cap'n J Hood.
St. Brown gets it on the flip. St. Brown cuts back at the 5, and he's down inside the 2.
And that PAT is going to come back and bite him.
Up the middle, in for the touchdown is Jamal Williams. His 9th rushing touchdown of the year, and the Lions are an extra point away.
We're getting man-to-man.
Fields. In trouble. Fields chased. Breaks free of two tacklers. Now trying to break the third. And Okwara has him. Julian Okwara with the sack.
He was just exhausted.
Courtesy of Fox, and what's up, and welcome in to a Bears Monday with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We are the Cap and J Hood Morning Show here on Chicago's home for sports. Getting your reaction, what'd you see in this Bears loss against the Lions? 312-332-3776. We turn now to the great Alex Brown. He is with us here as we review the Bears' loss against the Lions, 31-30. Alex is now recovered from that bad smell on his Delta flight, and he joins us here on ESPN 1000. Hello, Alex.
How you doing?
Good, man. I mean, you put it out there on Instagram that someone
pretty bad.
Someone smelled bad on your flight last night. What happened there?
Yeah, I switched seats. I was in a middle seat, okay. And then they told me I could get an exit row. I was like, all right, cool. I'll take the exit row over. It was exit row. I could get the middle seat in Comfort Plus, or I can go back to the back of the plane where the exit row was. And I was like, I'll take the exit row. That's cool. Mm-hmm. And when I sat down, I was like, whoa. I think I made the wrong choice. And then I'm like, is it me? Like, I'm telling you, it was so bad, I thought it was me. And I was really, like, sniffing myself, and I'm like, dang, if somebody see me, like, kind of sniffing myself, maybe they're going to think it's me. But it's not me. Somebody smells really bad. It was bad. And I had an hour and a half of it, so wasn't a pleasant flight.
How crowded was that airport? I drove him to the airport. Oh, my God.
Yes, brutal. Brutal, and it was crazier inside. Just flights delayed, and people are upset. Like the people that's helping with the tickets control the damn plane. You know, it's just like, guys, like, relax, just relax. Like, we're gonna get it going. You get home. You might be 45 minutes later, but hey, just relax. You cursing the person out at the ticket desk doesn't help.
Man, you had to be a peacemaker there. I'm glad you stepped in there and told those people to keep quiet. Very good, nice job, Alex Brown. Good Gator. The Lions defeat the Bears 31-30. First and foremost, man. Defensively, what was disappointing you the most about the Bears' defense?
Big plays, situational football. When we need to get off the field, you know, 4-minute drill. You know the 4-minute drill. They're going to run the ball. You stop them. You call a timeout. Like, that is the 4-minute drill. And we weren't able to stop them. I mean, yeah, everybody knows they're going to run it. They do what they're going to do, run the ball, and they were still able to get the first down to close out the game. The drive before that, you have a 6-point lead. You have to be able to get off the field. You got to be able to make a play, and we're just not able to make that play right now to get off the field. I mean, you give up 30, okay? You give up 30, that's fine. When it comes down to it and you need a play, just make the play at that point. Because of whatever happened prior to that, doesn't really matter at this point. We need to make a play, and we'll fix everything later. But we're just not able to do that, whether it's missed tackles, whether it was uncharacteristic as far as this season, the amount of penalties that were happening, that we were hurting ourselves. I think the penalty on, I think it was Jalen Johnson, was, I thought that was crap. But they told me he hit him in the face. I thought he jabbed him right in the chest, and the guy fell down. But yeah, it was just unfortunate stuff happening. And the defenses, I'm not making excuses for them. They were terrible. Okay? They were terrible. They got to play better. They're in a new defense. You got a lot of young players out there. You see Sanborn, Jack, he goes out and has a hell of a game. If he can get that interception and we not have a penalty on that play, his day is even bigger. Now, you have some guys that really showed up, but as a whole, you can't give up 30 points and think, and be happy about the performance. So, especially when you look on the other side and they're just absolutely going nuts on offense and doing everything they can to keep you in the game.
AB, we watched the game together, and looking at the defensive system that Detroit ran, can you please give us your thoughts on why Justin's able to find running lanes, get to the edge, make plays, and then the last quarter – it seemed like, there's Hutchinson on one end and there's whoever at the other end, and they're not trying to sack him. Can you take us through that defensive system, which forced him to have to be trapped in the pocket?
Well, it's just as a defensive coordinator on the other side that's looking at a guy like Justin, it's the same. You don't want that guy to beat you with his feet. You want to keep him in the pocket and make him throw the football. That's what you want to do, because if he gets out, like, can he beat you in the pocket? Well, yeah, he can, but he's going to crush you when he gets outside of the pocket. Now he can throw it and he can run it as he showed on the 67-yard touchdown that he ran, and he outran everybody on defense. So you want to keep him in the pocket, so they slow down their rushes. Slow down the rushes and try to just contain him, and then gradually squeeze that pocket down and see if they can get him or get him off his spot, get him missing guys that were coming open. If you go back and look at some of those plays that he was being pressured, he keeps his eyes down the field just a second longer. And I get it. He's been hit all year. I'm not telling him to stay there and keep your eyes down the field and get smoked in the pocket. But you want to keep him in there as a defense. So defensive coordinator making in-game adjustments, that's what you saw from Detroit, and that's what they did to combat him trying to run the ball, especially in those situations, right? That those are situational plays within the game, and Detroit was able to make a really good adjustment to keep him in the pocket, and it worked for him.
What'd you think of Morrow and Sanborn trying to get after the quarterback? The uniform was clean on Tua, but against Goff, they got him out of the pocket a little bit. So what'd you think of the All-American Jack Sanborn and Nicholas Morrow?
I love it, man. I love young guys when they get an opportunity to come in and play. Not just play. I mean, these guys, they play well, right? They came in, they did really well, especially Jack. Jack Sanborn, like, he just he blew up on the show, and we're talking about him on the show, and I'm actually looking, and I asked Lance Briggs this. I was like, you think he actually fits this defense a little better than Roquan? And I kind of do. I'm not saying he's better than Roquan. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that he fits the defense better. How he plays, his skill set, it just fits better. He made a lot of plays yesterday. Now he has to learn how to put that, do back-to-back, like really putting this in and week out, and it come to be something we expect. Now that we've seen it, like your kid, right? Once I see you do it, hell, I want you to do it all the time. Now I've seen you do it, Zach. I need it every week. I need you to come out, not necessarily get 2 sacks every week, but let the man upstairs, that man up in that booth in the top box is calling out names. Make sure he calls your name a couple times during on a Sunday. You can't go through 4 quarters and that guy not call your name.
You talking about the Lord? Or?
No.
You said the best upstairs.
I'm talking about whoever's calling the game. I mean, whoever's calling the game for Fox or for NBC or whoever's calling the game.
Oh, Mark Sanchez? He's a boob. He doesn't know what's going on. He's just trying to get lines off. You heard it, Cap. Correct. Mark Sanchez, he's a boob.
Yeah, that whole broadcast was...
I like Kevin Kugler. I mean, it's a professional broadcast. Mark Sanchez... Hey, man, listen.
He's learning.
You don't come in with. He's coming in with scripted lines, though. Come on, man. Just call the game.
AB,
you from here.
AB, the Bears and the Falcons. You live in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I was concerned. I told you before the game about the Lions. The Atlanta Falcons are better than the Lions. They can run the ball. What is this game set up to be?
Well, the thing about the Lions, they can throw it. They got Brown, and they have other receivers that were, well, I think a couple were out yesterday, but they have receivers that they can throw the ball to. But the Falcons don't. So they're not going to have any aspirations of actually throwing the football. They don't use Pitts here at all, and they're always complaining, why don't he get the ball more? He'll go 2-3 quarters and not even get a target. It's just like, what in the hell is going on? But because they want to run the football, they're going to do it by committee. They'll run with Algiers. They'll run with Patterson, and then the quarterback. He can run. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be something that we haven't shown that we're good at in stopping the run. This is what they are committed to doing, and they will come in and run the ball 50 times if we don't stop them, and they will beat us if we don't, because they're going to score a lot of points. Us scoring a lot of points is not the problem now, right? We've seen we're averaging 30 points over the last 3 games, and we've lost all 3.
Coach Brown, who are you cutting today off the Bears? After
the kicker.
who are you going to cut today, Coach Brown?
I'm not cutting anybody.
What?
Cutting anybody. How come
Velus Jones can't see the field the last couple of games? Harry's not out there. Kicker missed.
What Velus Jones is seeing is that when you get your opportunity, you got to make the most of it. And that opportunity may come, it may not come around as often as you think. So when another guy gets that opportunity and they take advantage of it, now you find yourself on the bench, and then you find yourself inactive, and then you find yourself looking for another job. So at some point, he's going to have to make some plays in practice to show the coaches, get that confidence back so he can get on this football field, because it's not going the right way right now unless somebody else makes a mistake. So, and this goes for everybody. The only person on that team safe, you're not going to see them leave here, is one. Justin Fields isn't going anywhere. Everybody else, they can replace. They can replace them. So you better go out and play. You better make plays. You better go out. And regardless of the team winning or losing, Sanborn is doing what he's supposed to do. You got a guy like Brisker that's doing what he's supposed to do. Gordon doing what he's supposed to do. These guys are doing it, but on a defense, if one guy can make a mistake, one guy can make the whole defense look bad. And this is what they're learning. It's not that everybody's playing bad. Just because you give up 30 points doesn't mean everybody on the defense is playing bad. It could be one or two guys not doing their job, and that's what it is. And then you get a big play against you. So everybody's 11 jobs to be done. When all 11 guys start doing it and we get better talent in the building, then you'll start to see this defense be better. But right now, they're not. This is what we're going to see probably for the rest of the year.
AB, have a great week. It's a little chilly this morning, so enjoy the calm weather down there.
Yeah, we're a smooth 58 degrees, so I'm gonna love this today, you know. And it's not even noon yet. I still got 2 hours before noon, so it'll be 65. So you guys enjoy that weather up there.
All right, that's enough, Gator. That's enough. Nobody asked you.
Tell Kerry we said hey.
All right, that's enough.
We'll do.
We'll see you. It's our guy. Alex Brown.
Just chuckling. Just laughing at us. With us here on Cap and Jay Hood. What's more important, development of players or stacking wins? Matt Eberflus gives his answer to that coming up next on a Bears Monday with Cap and Jay Hood.